If you have your Bibles, open it to Mark chapter 8. Gospel according to Mark chapter 8, starting at verse number 31. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse number 31. We'll be there for a few minutes this morning. Mark chapter 8, verse number 31. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And he said to them, "I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." This is the third week in which we have been walking through the theme of discipleship. Now, I said it a couple weeks ago that disciple is a lost word that we need to reclaim in our spiritual journey. As I said a couple weeks ago, we see the word disciple in the New Testament close to 300 times, as opposed to the word Christian, which only appears 3. To be a disciple communicates so much with regards to relationship and practice. As a disciple, one is determined to empty himself or herself of all he or she knows and is desirous to fill himself or herself up with everything their teacher says and does. To that description of discipleship, we designate Jesus Christ as our master and our teacher, and we confess from the depths of our hearts that wherever Jesus leads, we will follow. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for this gathering. Father, we feel your presence. We acknowledge your presence. And God, as you so desire or choose, we pray that in some way you will make yourself known, made manifest, show up in a way that perhaps we've never seen before. Father, that we would partake of the transformative power that comes from you. God, as we look at what it means to follow you, I pray we would be blessed in our hearts and our minds with the story of Jesus, as we will see our Lord and our Master and our Savior did not ask us to do anything that he wasn't first willing to do. So we thank you for giving us that kind of Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We, again, began this series a couple weeks ago with the way of discipleship. Last week, we considered the call of discipleship, and this morning, we continue with the cost of discipleship. This morning, I want to talk about price and paradox. Now, paradoxes are contradictions. My life, Dion's life, are full of them. I grew up in Buffalo. I am a Buffalo Bills fan, a Buffalo Sabres fan, and a New York Yankees fan. Now, this means that in terms of sports, I hate the New England Patriots, the Boston Red Sox, and the Boston Bruins. However, I am an avid fan of the Boston Celtics, which means I hate the New York Knicks. My life are full of these contradictions and paradoxes. I hate raw onions, but oh, do I love a good onion ring. I cannot stand reality TV. Okay, I've had it with reality TV and some of these dumb shows that are coming up. There's a show called Pregnant and in Heels. Anybody watch that show? Don't. Oh, here we go. We got some people. You're not ashamed. Evelyn back there, I know you would be the one to watch that show. Pregnant and in Heels. There's shows about hunting down roaches and rats. There's a show that offers the winner of the show like a $25,000 plastic surgery. Like, it's called Brideplasty. Anybody watch that show? You do. You are cut off. I am sick and tired of reality shows. But here comes the paradox. I love to watch them. There are a couple shows that have become my favorites in recent weeks. One show is called Extreme Couponing. How many people watch that show?
Yeah.
Extreme Couponing is a show that shows shoppers. I don't know if this makes you happy, Frank, being the manager of Walmart. But this is a show where people cut out coupons, go online and get coupons. I was watching last week. This woman went into the store and had $1,000 worth of groceries. And at the end of her bill, after she did all the coupons, they owed her $8. Now, that would be something that I would, you know, just be so, you know, absent from, not knowing that, except that we have in this church building, I'm talking about sitting here right now, an extreme couponer. He's smiling from ear to ear right now. Brian Wilson, I remember we were in Target once. I think it was Target. And I saw him walking through the store with a cart full of Hershey Kisses. It was Christmas time. And it was the green and red Hershey Kisses. You know what I'm talking about? He went online and got like 100 coupons for, a dollar off a bag of Hershey Kisses. Well, these bags of Hershey Kisses, because it was after Christmas, were only 50 cents. So Brian got paid $50 to buy 100 packages of Hershey Kisses. Go into Brian's basement. There is a collection of Hershey Kisses and laundry detergent and I don't know what else, soap and shampoo. And they have a garage sale every year where they're selling shampoo. But he's an extreme couponer. I was going to challenge him this past week into an extreme coupon challenge. I knew I would have lost. And he calls me and said, oh, man, I got a coupon on grape juice, you know, for communion. You know, we got a 50 cent off here, a dollar here, man. We can get bottles of grape juice for 50 cents where we usually pay $3. So if you want to know about extreme couponing, watch the show or go to Brian. It's a show that is consumed with saving money. There's another show that Perry put me on called Storage Wars. How many people watch that show? Storage Wars is a show where you go to the auctions of storage places when people don't pay their bills. They cut the locks off. People can come by, you know, take a peek in the storage box, and then they get the bidding. Now, Perry invited me to a storage auction this past week, and we went. And it's amazing. They open this thing up. You take a quick peek in, get your flashlight, and there's some things in there. And then people go a bit, give me $50, give me $75, give me. And some people will buy, you know, somebody bought a storage locker that had about three or four ladders in there, scaffolding, probably worth over $1,500. Got it for like $500. Our lives are consumed with getting the best deals. Whether it is going to the grocery store and cashing in on the 10 items for $10 deals, or cutting coupons, or going garage selling, or finding bargains on eBay or on Craigslist, we want to buy good stuff cheap. There's a fairly new store in Columbus called Ollie's. The tagline of Ollie's is where you get good stuff cheap. There are tons of books at this store, which means bad news for me and our bank account because I'm a frequent buyer. I bought books once that retailed for over $200 once for less than $40. We will go to dollar stores and get watered down shampoo and lotion because we like deals. We go to the store with the lowest prices. We don't ask for the price of something and say, what? That price is too cheap. I'm going to go across the way where it costs more. Now, church, unfortunately, when it comes to the spiritual life, in some ways we are in search of deals. God's grace, we want God's grace, don't we? We want God's blessing. We want peace in our lives. We want satisfaction out of our lives. We want good and exciting worship services. We want fulfilling and life-changing Bible classes. We want transformative small groups. And we want it all as cheap as we can get it. In terms of the price we pay in response to all this great stuff, we want a deal. How can I get all that good, godly stuff while not giving up anything? Now, let me caution you. I am not suggesting that we can do anything to get stuff from God. God gives because of who he is and not because I do something. I thank you, Joel, for reading Ephesians chapter 2. We're saved by grace. That's something that he gives to us, not because we do something. We do something in response. In response to all that God gives, there ought to be a response. And the response is committing to a way of discipleship and saying, Jesus, I will follow you. The response is following the call of discipleship. The response is saying, where you lead, Jesus, I will follow. And in confessing our desires to follow Jesus, we need to understand that there is a price that has been paid and a price to pay. And the church, that is the cost of discipleship. And it's not cheap. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34 again. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. There are no coupons in discipleship. There are no half-life coupons. You know, Jesus, can I get this give my all life thing for half-life? If you want to follow Jesus, it takes your entire life. Everything that you are, everything that you have must be given in order to follow Jesus. No bargains, no rebates. Extreme bargain hunting might be good for the pocketbook and for the bank account, but it does no good when it comes to the soul. I said we are going to talk about price and paradox. So here comes the paradox of the price that Jesus says we have to pay. And here is probably the most important idea that you will ever hear from me. The great paradox of the Christian faith is this: if you want to live, you have to die. I know it's an oxymoron. It's like a plastic glass or a 12-ounce pound cake, but this is the truth. If you want to have life, you have to die. Now remember, as a disciple, we are following our teacher and our master. We are following his call. Unlike many masters, Jesus does not call us to do something that he isn't willing to do. Jesus is calling us to give up our connection to stuff. So many reject following Jesus because their connection to stuff is so strong. Stuff might be things. Stuff may be ideals or characteristics or personalities. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. Do you get that? That's kind of funny, I think. If I know I can't beat you up, I'll then go, "Hey, let's just get along, right?" In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. We need to be careful, church, when we sing songs like "All to Jesus I Surrender." We might find ourselves singing lies. We might find ourselves singing something that doesn't match our lifestyle. To surrender all is to leave everything on the table. That is the cost of following Jesus. The beauty of this tough call of Jesus is that he demonstrated what giving up everything meant. You see, Jesus lived in grandeur and splendor. He left it all for you and me. Jesus lived in what I like to call ghetto fabulous heaven. But Philippians says he, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Church, know this. He gave it up. He gave it all up to fulfill the will of God for mankind. Jesus, our suffering servant, left the comforts of heaven. He left the pageantry of majesty and the gold of glory for the hurt and pain of flesh, the tragedy of disappointment. He left the comfortable life for a life of struggle and obstacle. He did this in order to fulfill the wishes of the Father. He did this as an example for us to leave the comforts of our own understanding, the relaxation in this world, and the supposed joys we experience for a life of radical devotion and discipleship. And Jesus is calling us to be willing to give up everything to follow him, even to the point of death. This discipleship is so radical that it might even cause death. And while physical death is a possibility, we note the martyrdom of great people of faith. Stephen, the first disciple to be martyred in the book of Acts. The gospel preacher James. Nate Saint, who went down into a remote tribe in South America several years ago and was killed by the very tribe that he sought to convert to Christ. Yeah, physical death is possible, but the death that is most often experienced and that has to be experienced is the death of the old man and the old woman. Death of the old life, death of your status, the death of your love for this world, death of your pursuit of more stuff, death of the insistence of your way. This death signifies new life. So this death, you will find yourself being around other disciples in when you die. To gain this life, you'll find yourself hanging with other disciples more. In this death, you will find yourself digesting more of the Word of God. In this death, you will find yourself in the race of life, not getting tangled in the minutia of this life, but being overwhelmed by the overpowering implications of the kingdom of God. In this death, when things don't go your way, you will find yourself praying instead of complaining. In this death, and when you're defeated, you will find yourself worshiping instead of giving up. In this death, when people who do you wrong, you don't find yourself retaliating, you find yourself forgiving. In this death, when you're down to your last penny, you will find yourself sharing that penny rather than burying it, hiding it, only to save it for yourself. That's the cost of following Jesus. That's what it means to die. And it's costly, church. It's not cheap. Any form of following Christ that negates the disciples' call to die to self, to die to this world, is empty and useless. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite authors, in his groundbreaking book, The Cost of Discipleship, makes a claim that when we sidestep the cost of following Jesus, we cheapen grace. By taking seriously the costs of following Christ, we respond to grace that was indeed costly. Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, quote, "Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is a grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it costs God the life of his Son. Ye were bought at a price, and what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Grace is costly because it compels a man to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. It is grace because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Before we start complaining about how much the cost is to follow Jesus, let's remember this. Jesus paid the ultimate price. I said, Jesus paid the ultimate price. Jesus paid the cost we should have paid, but he spared us that cost. We were bought with a price, the Apostle Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 6. Jesus died so that we might live, but in order for us to enjoy life, we have to die. And we are called to do what the Master was willing to do. So church, it's time that we die. It's time that we take up our cross and follow Jesus. It's time that we stop trying to bargain with God. It's time that we stop trying to give God some and save some for ourselves and others. It's time that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. Because this grace God has given us is costly. It requires costly response. And since we are recipients of such a costly grace, we ought to offer this grace in continuing the great command to love your neighbor as yourself. Church, it's time we accepted death to gain life. Saying to Jesus, I will follow you, means saying, Jesus, I am ready to take up my cross and die. What matters to me, Jesus, only matters to me if it matters to you, Jesus. My life is swallowed up in your life, Jesus. Another one of my favorite quotes from a book written by N.T. Wright, a book called Following Jesus. He writes, Jesus, who caused the church to abandon imperialistic dreams on the one hand and its passive non-involvement on the other, and to become for the world what Jesus was for the world. That is what discipleship and following Jesus is really about. He goes on to say, N.T. Wright does, taking up the cross is not a merely passive operation. It comes about as the church attempts in the power of the Spirit to be for the world what Jesus was for the world, announcing the kingdom, healing the wounds of the world, challenging the power structures that keep anger and pain in circulations. We need to pray that we will have the courage as a church and as Christian persons, to follow the servant king wherever he leads. Wherever, church, means wherever. That is the cost of discipleship. And it's a cost that pales in comparison to the rich cost that Christ paid for you and me. We were bought with a price, and we belong to Him. And He is our Lord, and He is our Master, and we are His disciples. So we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Him. Will you follow Him today, even if it means getting your feet dirty, even if it means getting your hands dirty, even if it means ruined reputation, even if it means lost friendship, even if it wrecks your family relationships? Are you willing to pay the cost of following Jesus? We're going to sing a song in just a second called Pierce My Ear. It's a song that many of you may have sung at camp. It's a song that has a remarkable biblical story behind it. In Deuteronomy and Exodus, there's a story about people who own slaves. Now, slavery in Bible times and in ancient times wasn't about people going and stealing other people and forcing them to be their slaves. Slavery in biblical times meant that usually a family owed another family a debt. Instead of paying them the money, they would work it off, and they would work it off for a period of time until that debt was satisfied. Deuteronomy, Moses is preaching and saying, if you have a slave at the end of the term, you let him go. But if the slave says, you know what? You've been good to me, and I love you, Master, so I'm going to stay here and serve you. And then it says, you take the slave, and you take a tool and you pierce their ear, which means you belong to that master. The master didn't compel the slave. The master didn't say, you're going to follow me. The slave made the choice to follow. All I've been asking for the past 3 weeks is that we make the choice to follow Jesus. He's not telling you what you got to do. He's saying this is what you can do. Choose to follow me. And understand again, we're following someone who's not trying to tell us to do stuff that he's not willing to do. I don't know how much I want to talk about this. It's what bothers me about Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden called people to follow him and do things that he wasn't willing to do. He was calling people to be martyrs for the faith while he sat at home, drank Coca-Cola, and watched porn. It's not the Jesus we follow. The Jesus we follow says, you need to die. But I'm going to die first. Just so as you can't ever say, well, Jesus, you asking us to do something you won't do. He said, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in an extremely painful way too. Will you allow that story of Jesus, will you allow that example of Jesus to compel you to follow him? Will you say, Jesus, pierce my ear. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And wherever means wherever. If you want to follow him today, I pray that you would confess that in your heart. Confess that in your life right now. If you're a believer, a follower, recommit to following Jesus wherever he goes. Talk about that. Think about that. Meditate on what that means. If you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, you're not a disciple of Jesus, right? You've not said yes to him yet. You want to profess faith in him. You want to die. You want to signify that death in baptism. We want to give you that opportunity. Wherever you stand in this life right now, I urge you, stop bargaining with God. Stop bargaining with Jesus. Please understand the incredible cost of discipleship, unless we want to cheapen the richness of his grace. Will you stand and sing this song? If there's anything that we can do for you as a church, please come as we sing this song.